Everyone, and welcome to the Variado Insider, a bi-weekly podcast covering some of the latest trends and things to know in cybersecurity. This podcast is sponsored by Variado, a next-generation employee monitoring and insider threat detection software provider. So to learn more about how Variado can help protect your company, check out variado.com. Now, I'm Dr. Christine Zwakor, the CEO of Cyber Pop-Up, which is an on-demand cybersecurity platform based out in Chicago. Today, I'll be sharing my expert take on how insider threats and insider risks are impacting the healthcare sector. A quick rundown on my background so you get a sense of who I am before I jump in. I have over a decade of experience leading a variety of different cybersecurity functions in the Fortune 100 space. I also earned a PhD in security engineering. I've been, featured in the Wall Street Journal and Cheddar News and Yahoo and all of these different things. So I say all that to say, like, I'm truly obsessed with this industry and love sharing my insight. And this topic of insider risk is very near and dear to me because I have a lot of interest in the role that human beings play in both enabling and preventing attacks. And so really excited to explore how this plays out in the healthcare sector, which is so critical. So I'm going to start out with a quick stat. According to Verizon, insider threats affect almost 50% of healthcare organizations. And healthcare is actually one of the only industries where insiders are responsible for a higher percentage of breaches than external attackers. So, major problem. You heard that right. Insiders cause greater havoc, basically, or wreak greater havoc on healthcare organizations than external hackers and the people that you tend to hear about most of the time. They're more of a problem. And so, really excited to dig into this. In addition to healthcare staff, contractors, executives, former employees, all of them contribute to this problem within the sector. And then adding to the issue is the fact that detection times in healthcare, it takes a really long time. And what I mean by detection times is the amount of time that it takes to detect that an attack has happened. So oftentimes a hacker will be in a network for days, months, sometimes years, learning the landscape, stealing data slowly or whatever the case may be. And so in the healthcare sector, on average, the time to detect and contain a breach is about 350 days, which is much higher than the average of 157 days for most other industries. And so more than double. Both of these are long, of course, like we need to get those numbers down either way, but healthcare definitely seems to lag behind. And of course, that lengthy detection period turns into increased costs of remediation and recovery. And so really important to get those numbers down. But those are just some interesting trends. Some more that I want to dig into that I think helps set the context as well here too in the healthcare and pharmaceutical sectors. Insider breach remediation can cost up to $10.8 million annually. Also between the year 2009 and 2020, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services recorded almost 4,000 healthcare data breaches that affected more than 500 records. So there are, of course, a ton of smaller ones, but for the ones that affect at least 500 people or more, almost 4,000 of those. And those breaches resulted in the loss, theft, exposure, or unauthorized disclosure of, brace yourself for this, 268 million healthcare records, which equates to more than 80% of the US population. So this is huge. The healthcare sector is an area that we have to pay attention to. Like I mentioned before, a huge part of the breaches in this area stem from insider-related issues. And to even break that down more, about 48% of healthcare data breaches are caused by internal staff, about 2% by partners and things like that. And so, again, very important stuff to pay attention to and dig into more. Now, I want to talk about what the challenges are in enabling this problem across the industry, because of course that's important to understand as well. With this sort of sensitive information exposure being a huge thing, I want to touch on a study that was done last year on healthcare data risk. It examined 58 companies, including hospitals, biotech organizations, pharmaceuticals, all of that. The study included 3 billion files across different storage types, right? So when you think about how you're trying to protect data in the healthcare space, right? You have data that's on-prem, you have data that might be in the cloud, you have hybrid environments. And so all of these different ways the data can be exposed, and it's important to look back at those to figure out how it's actually happening, right? And so this report came out with some very alarming sort of findings, or interesting findings to pay attention to, one of which is that every employee had access to nearly 20% of all files on average. So one in 10 of those files were sensitive as well. And so when you think about the magnitude of that, right, think about that 20% of all files every employee has access to. So think about 20% of the files on your computer. If everybody in your company had access to those files, what could that mean for you and the security of your work or what you're doing? And then when you think about the fact that one in 10 of those files is sensitive, then it's very clear, and no matter what way you slice the data, there's a good chance that folks have access to sensitive files in the healthcare space, right? And this data can be very critical, and if lost or if put in the wrong hands, can have very damaging consequences. And I'll talk about some of those examples in a second, but the number of sensitive files in an average healthcare organization that's accessible to all employees is around 31,000. This includes HIPAA-protected information, financial data, and proprietary information and research. And so, again, data and being able to lock that down is just absolutely critical in this space. And then the last finding that I thought was alarming and should mention here is that almost 80% of the companies in the study had 500 or more accounts with passwords that never expire, right? So this is something that we've been talking about for years, for decades at this point, like change your passwords, right? Yet 80% of those companies found this, mass amount of accounts with passwords that never expire, which is a huge problem. And so I think one of the biggest things to take away from that, in terms of the challenges that are being faced in this area, is that some of these things are table stakes, not earth-shattering, new vulnerabilities or things. Some of these things are very basic elements of cybersecurity that we just continue to neglect in the healthcare space for whatever reason. And that just simply is not good. So from here, I want to touch on also the intentional insider and some of the damage that they can do, right? So employees can very much intentionally leak or tamper with sensitive files when they have this access that we're talking about. People have access to 31,000 files, right? And so if somebody is able to expose those files, or somebody is able to delete those files, so you no longer have those records, what does that mean? When you think about how regulated this industry is, there could be some regulatory implications and fines that come with not having access to that data or not protecting that data. For example, a couple of years ago, due to HIPAA violations, healthcare organizations paid $28 million in financial penalties. So this isn't just something that is nice to have. It's not just something that is like, okay, well, I want to do the right thing and protect my customers, so I'm going to invest in this. It's like, no, those things are important. Yes, absolutely. But there are also significant legal fines and sanctions, or if you do not pay attention to these things. I touched a little bit on the intentional insider as well, and who's kind of causing some of these issues, but want to dig into that a little bit more, because I think in the healthcare space there are a couple of different types of insiders that come into the equation, right? So there are, but first of all, let's level set on the definition of an insider, right? It's anyone who has access to an organization's assets in an authorized manner, whether it's employees, contractors, partners, in some cases customers, all of these people who have immediate access to certain systems and have the ability to whether it's view or edit or whatever the case may be, if they can do anything in those systems, to a certain extent, they can play a role as an insider. And so in the healthcare space, right, this can be physicians, doctors, nurses, support or administrative staff, your janitors, your insurance billing specialists, your air conditioning provider in the hospital, anyone who touches those systems can be an insider. And when insiders break policies or regulations or kind of go rogue in this space, again, the implications and the consequences can be a lot worse, because you're dealing with health and you're dealing with safety and you're dealing with the physical well-being of people. And so the stakes are higher. The last piece that I want to touch on in terms of challenges as well is that, of course, the pandemic and the striking impact that that had on the healthcare industry has forced people to sort of adapt very quickly to this sort of digital revolution that's happening, and the embracement of, you know, remote work, and the industry having to really expand very rapidly its support staff, right, and beef up third-party supply chains and the reliance on that, all to make sure that as the demand for healthcare services grew, as a nation and as a, you know, world, we were able to step up and meet that demand. And so that fast-paced transition or transformation in that limited time frame, of course, also adds another layer of risk to this equation and adds new vulnerabilities. When you think about new hires, more technology being used, this just increases the insider risk attack surface, right? Because you just have more people in this space operating at a much more rapid pace. One last stat that I'll mention for this kind of a part of the segment that highlights this even more is before the pandemic, there was a study that was done, right? Before the pandemic, folks were mainly worried about, from a cybersecurity standpoint in healthcare, like things like rogue administrators or the accidental exposure of sensitive data by employees. Those were some of the bigger concerns. Post-pandemic, those concerns have expanded to threats like insiders clicking on phishing emails, admins making mistakes, or intentionally doing things that they shouldn't do, data theft by employees. When you think about data theft within the healthcare space, it's like that data can be taken, it can be sold on the dark web, it can be used to help fuel identity theft rings, it can be used to do all kinds of horrible things. And so in this climate, the incentive can be a lot greater. And so it's something to absolutely pay attention to as well. I want to touch on now a couple of sort of breaches that happened recently that paint what this looks like in reality, right? It's one thing to talk about these trends and talk about some of the things that are going on, but to actually go through examples, I think really brings it home. So one example I want to touch on recently was from May of 2020. In this case, a hacker gained access to the email account of an employee at the National Cardiovascular Partners organization and retained that access for almost a month. That intrusion, that month-long intrusion, impacted almost 80,000 patients. And 80,000 is a huge number when you think about what kinds of impacts that might be, right? What kinds of data might have been exposed and what can be done with that data in this healthcare environment. Another incident, similarly, several employee email accounts of Total Health Care Plan organization were compromised. This impacted over 200,000 patient records. During that same time frame, other healthcare providers that were also hit with these types of breaches include Einstein Healthcare, American Medical Technology, Cano Health, iMed, the list goes on and on. And so these attacks all sort of stemmed or were successful because of email. That's the common denominator there, is that there was an email account of an employee that was either compromised or misused. And so it's a huge reminder that we can't continue to rely on insecure or archaic email systems in this industry. We have to make sure that we have updated systems. We have to make sure that we are applying the greatest security protection measures to both email systems and beyond in order to avoid these kinds of attacks. Another one that I want to touch on is a case where a malicious insider who worked at a Texas hospital built a botnet using the hospital network and then launched an attack on rival groups. So this insider sort of posted a video staging and like infiltration, so to speak, of the hospital network for public viewing and shared that, which also revealed confidential information. But an investigation was done after this incident. It showed that the insider had downloaded this malware to dozens of computers and nursing stations that contained patient information. This hacker also, and I say hacker, but this was an internal person, right? But they also installed a backdoor to the hospital's HVAC unit. Basically, if that went into effect, the drugs and medicines preserved in temperature-controlled environments could have been seriously damaged, depending on how that attack played out and what he did to that HVAC unit. And so, again, going back to what I said earlier, the impact here is not just about data loss. It's not just about the traditional things that you think about when you think about a data breach. In this case, that medical equipment, that medication, those drugs, if they're damaged because they're not in that right temperature-controlled environment, and you are now unable to render those things to patients who need them, you know what happens, right? The stakes are just much, much higher and can lead to very adverse effects. And so, in that case, the insider eventually pleaded guilty throughout in that investigation. And that led to him serving a 9-year sentence in prison, along with some monetary fines that had to be paid. So, I could go on and on with these examples, but the bottom line is that these risks and these trends we're talking about are very real. We've seen them play out over the years, and we'll just continue to see these types of trends and these types of attacks continue to surface. Now, I want to touch on two last things here. One, what are things that we should be aware of that continue to enable these types of risks and these types of threats in the healthcare sector? And then, of course, what can we do about it? Ultimately, that's the biggest thing we have to address, right? Is how can we get ahead of these threats within the healthcare space? And so, a couple of things that are enabling this. This is more of a recap of things that we've talked about before throughout the trends and examples. User error. Everybody's not trying to be malicious, right? A lot of people are. Make no mistake about that. But also want to point out that some of these things are accidental, and so that user error plays a role. And then, of course, there are the intentional people who are just doing, you know, bad things. There's also a lack of check and balances that can prevent those people who are trying to do bad things from being successful. A lack of check and balances that can help prevent fraud. So we've talked about a lot of data leaks and things like that, but also when you think about everything from like healthcare billing fraud to insurance claim fraud, all of those things impact the healthcare sector as well from an insider standpoint. And so there have to be checks and balances there. Just a lack of strong account security controls. So we talked about having, you know, 500 plus accounts where the password never expires, absolutely unacceptable. And so that lack of account security controls also plays a huge role. As applications and as organizations move more of their content and move more of their operations to the cloud, that adds another layer of complexity here because you no longer have full control of your environment, and you now have to make sure that you own this sort of shared responsibility with your cloud providers to make sure that you have the utmost cybersecurity protection measures in place in alignment with any regulations you have to align with as well, such as HIPAA. And so there's just a ton of layers to these challenges. But of course, all hope is not lost. There's definitely things you can do to reduce some of these risks and address these issues. So one of the first things that I always, always, always have to recommend when it comes to addressing insider risk is training and awareness. And this helps on both sides, both if you're dealing with people who are unintentionally introducing risk. So people are not trying to be malicious intentionally, but it also helps for people who are just going rogue and who are intentional risks as well. And what I mean by that is when you have people who are doing things unintentionally and you train them and make them aware of the risks of their actions and how to do things appropriately, you eliminate a huge portion of the risks in the healthcare sector and in any sector, because people now know what they don't know, right? And they now know what they need to do to protect the company. On the other hand, though, with folks who are intentionally being malicious, I think training and awareness does a couple of different things. One, you can make folks aware of the fact that you are essentially watching them, make them aware of the fact that if they do things that can have adverse effects on the company, that you have processes and procedures in place that will alert and notify the right people to do something about that. You have to be careful with that approach because, of course, an insider will try to learn what those triggers are and find ways to circumvent them or find ways to stay under the radar. However, you'll find that by sharing just that sort of message that, this is a monitored environment, this is a controlled environment, I think it can act as a deterrent to a certain extent. And the other piece that I think it helps with is when you are able to train your employees and make them aware of what to do if they suspect insider risk. So having solid whistleblower programs, having safe spaces where folks can report when they know that something like that is going on, I think that also helps as well. Another big thing is visibility and monitoring. Can't say that enough. You can't detect what you can't see. You can't protect what you can't see. And so when it comes to users and insiders especially, you have to be able to know what folks are doing on your network, especially in today's day and age where, people are working remotely and everything. Of course, that gets even harder. And so it's important to invest in good, robust technology that can help in these spaces, that can help with insider threat detection, that can help with data loss prevention, that can help you better control the data that is in your organization and who's accessing it and who's sharing it. All of those things become super important. And then, of course, planning a response. So in the event that something does happen, that something does get leaked, that you find out that somebody did go rogue and, delete patient records or whatever the case may be in the healthcare sector, it's important to know what your response plan is beforehand. Don't wait until that has happened, because by then, if you don't have the right processes and systems in place, it is a lot harder, sometimes impossible, to recover. And so really important to have those things lined up beforehand. Now, I know we have covered a lot of ground, but these are just a few ways to reduce the threats that continue to impact the healthcare sector. I could go on and on about this, but for now, that concludes the Variado Insider podcast for this week. This podcast is brought to you by Variado, which is an award-winning cybersecurity company whose solutions are anchored around four core pillars of cybersecurity protection. Those are employee monitoring and web filtering, insider threat detection, employee investigations, and ransomware support. So to learn more about how Variado can help protect your company, check out variado.com. Thanks again for tuning in. I am Dr. Christine Zwakor, the CEO of Cyber Pop-Up, and it has been my absolute pleasure, as always, to share these insights with you. So until next time, stay safe and secure, insiders.